Spain has some 80 universities around the country. Most of them are public universities, but about 40% are private. Many are recent arrivals, founded since the transition to democracy in the 1970s, but some of you might be surprised to learn that some of the oldest universities in the world are actually located in this country. Many of them have survived to this day, so today we are going to take a quick look at some of the founding fathers of higher education in Europe. Now, we are talking about 800 years ago, more or less, and the situation in Spain was becoming somewhat more favorable for Christian kingdoms now that the Muslims had been pushed back to mainly the territory surrounding the city of Granada. And it was about time, because remember, the Moors had invaded in the year 711, 500 years earlier. So recapturing the lost ground took a lot of time and a lot of patience. Now, let's not forget that the Muslims had an excellent reputation for their love and respect of the arts, the liberal arts, science, medicine, and so on, and were regarded by many as the keepers of knowledge from the period of antiquity to the Middle Ages and Renaissance. But there didn't seem to be much in the way of a formal institution of higher education. Anyway, going back north, once things seemed to be much more under control, you get the feeling that there was more time for the Christian kingdoms to focus on other endeavors, many of them culturally related. The 13th century saw a period of enormous growth in many parts of Europe in this department, and Spain, especially Castile, was no different. Most universities at that time didn't start out as such. In other words, they weren't called universities for the most part. The most common term for them was studium generale, which was Latin for general studies. And many of these institutions were associated with the church, cathedrals, and monasteries, as were the curriculums. But they slowly became more established, more organized, usually as a result of a papal bull, approval to make them more official. Now, the list of the oldest universities in Europe will vary somewhat, but there are certain assertions that few contest. Bologna in Italy is universally considered to be the first university. The only question is exactly when that year was, depending on what you considered to be its status as a university. The school itself says that it was in 1088, so let's go with that. Oxford is generally accepted as the second oldest university. Oxford doesn't seem to have a date of foundation by their own admission, but it seems that it happened throughout the 1100s, and they even admitted their first foreign student somewhere around 1190. Then you had the University of Paris in 1150, and this was the time where these schools were starting. Now, Spain was soon to follow. Salamanca is generally regarded as the third oldest college in Europe. That may or may not be exactly true, but it's certainly the top five, I would say. And it's also considered the oldest in Spain. The date is pretty clear, 1218, during the reign of Alfonso IX of León. However, it's important to note that Salamanca wasn't the first higher education institute in Spain. It was preceded, albeit by a few years, by the almost mythical University of Palencia, which opened its doors in 1208, possibly 1212, by King Alfonso VIII of Castile. Now, no one really knows for sure. In fact, there seems to be a lot of things that people don't know about this university. First of all, let's make something clear. I am saying Palencia with a P, not Valencia, the coastal city famous for its paella and beaches. Palencia is a small city in Castile and has all too often been overlooked by tourists, both foreign and domestic, over the years. But Palencia is its own province, and it is remarkable for its Romanesque architecture. The city itself has an amazing cathedral and a fascinating history, and it is well worth the visit. As for the university, Well, one of the most distinguished alumni, or at least this is what they say, was Domingo de Guzmán, the founder of the Dominican Monastic Order, the Dominicans, who were very important and very instrumental during the discovery period of the Americas. Now, once again, this is what people say, but the fact is Guzmán studied there before the earliest date was given, 1208. I think he actually studied during the 1190s. So in terms of being an alumnus, well, he wasn't there when it was officially a university, I guess, but that does tell us that before that period, at least during the end of the 12th century, higher education did exist. The university didn't last very long. By 1263, it was struggling economically, and it folded not long after that. I think it only lasted another year. At least that's what some people say. There is another theory, which I will tell you about in a second. What I can tell you is that the good people of Palencia have done little to preserve the honor and the pride of this distinction. Not a single structure from the school exists today. In fact, whatever was there was demolished before the turn of the 20th century. So Palencia gets first prize, but not as the oldest existing college. And that makes a difference because Salamanca is world famous. And understandably so. Salamanca's trajectory has been totally different almost from the very beginning. It started out as mostly a school specializing in legal and administrative disciplines. Today, it is especially known for its humanities. Throughout its history, many famous individuals have studied there, were enrolled there, including Cervantes, the writer or the author of Don Quixote. Today, it has over 30,000 students from all over Spain and the world. Foreign students, especially ones looking to improve their Spanish, are particularly fond of this town, and understandably so. It's a beautiful place to practice your Spanish, to study, and to live as a student, albeit temporarily. Spain's next school was also in Castile, in the city of Valladolid, which was a very important city at the time. The year is apparently 1241, but there's some debate about this because some scholars contend that the University of Valladolid got started when Palencia, the University of Palencia, for the most part, relocated to Valladolid. And if that were true, it would be an argument in favor of Valladolid being considered the oldest university. It was basically Palencia reconverted. But the university itself says that the formal founding really occurred under King Sancho IV in 1292. So I think we're going to have to take its opinion into account. It was also around this time when another Studium Generale was created in the town of Alcalá de Henares by order of Sancho IV, who insisted that the school sort of resemble Valladolid. This is recorded as taking place in 1293. Now, to refresh your memory, Alcalá de Henares is today a sizable city of nearly 200,000 people, about 35 kilometers east of Madrid, largely forgotten by tourists, but it is actually a very old city with a very historic past, and its old town is cool, attractive, and they're constantly working on it. Every time I go back, there's something more to see. It's definitely worth visiting. And I'm telling you more about this place because it has repercussions in the university situation for Madrid today. And that's because Alcalá has undergone several transformations and reconversions over the century. You see, after being founded in 1293, it continued to exist as sort of a small, minor higher education center until about 1499, when it was elevated to the status of university by Cardinal Cisneros, the famous Cardinal Cisneros, who was one of the most powerful people in Spain at that time. We are talking about the period of Fernando and Isabel, the Catholic monarchs, who were the ones who sent Columbus over to America, and so on. So this was a very important time for Spain, a very pivotal moment in Spanish history. Anyway, this is sort of considered to be the second founding of this university. It went by the name of Universidad de Alcalá, or Universidad Cisneriana, or even Universidad Complutense, and I will tell you more about that in a second. Anyway, it quickly grew into one of the most important centers of learning, probably after Salamanca. Throughout much of the golden century of Spanish intellectual power, one of the great moments in the history of Spain, this school thrived. But after that, it began to fade. So in 1836, the campus was moved to the city of Madrid, where it was called for a while Universidad Central and then Universidad de Madrid. Finally, in the 1960s, when the new campus in the northwest corner of the city became available, it's known today as Ciudad Universitaria, the school was relocated there and rechristened its current name, Universidad Complutense de Madrid. And we are talking, I believe, 1970. Now, I have to admit that when I first heard the name of this school, I was a bit puzzled because I thought Complutense, it sounded unusual. It sort of sounded like something to do with computing or as if it were like a technical college. And it sounded something very recent, very new, but it actually takes us all the way back to the earliest days of Alcalá de Henares, when it was a Roman town and a fairly important town, and that town was called Complutum. So Complutense was the adjective form, basically saying University of Alcalá, now in Madrid. So does that mean the original University of Alcalá has disappeared? No. It was refounded yet again in 1977. It belongs to the Complutense, but this is now the Alcalá campus, and thousands of students go there, both foreign and domestic. Anyway, backtracking somewhat, the next important university that we want to talk about is Barcelona. This important center of scholarly studies was founded officially in 1450. However, just like so many others, a medical school or a higher education school had already existed since about 1400, 1401. The local government had issues with that, though, because apparently it wasn't under their jurisdiction, so they didn't consider it to be sort of an official school. At least some. King Martin of Aragon was a supporter of this medical school, so there is a fairly good argument in favor of saying or claiming that it started at that time in the early 1400s. All the same, Alfonso V of Aragon, known as the Magnanimous, called for the founding of the school in 1450, so that it is generally accepted as the official date. The University of Barcelona progressed and grew for the next 200 years or so until a major change in geopolitics in the country would have a profound impact on its trajectory. King Charles II failed to produce an heir, and he died in 1700. As a result, the ruling dynasty, known as the House of Austria, which was the Habsburgs, disappeared there in Spain, and the new one was the Bourbons from France. The new king was Philip V. He was the grandson of Louis XIV, the famous Louis XIV, the Sun King. Now, not everyone was terribly excited about this idea. The Catalans, who initially supported Philip V and his claim to the throne, turned against him when they feared that they would lose many of those home rule privileges that they traditionally enjoyed under the crown of Aragon. And for some pretty good reasons, the Bourbons in France had proven themselves to be very much in favor of centralizing the government. And in addition to that, they weren't the only ones to have issue with this choice. In fact, the controversy sparked a war in many parts of Europe, known appropriately as the War of the Spanish Succession. Philip ended up winning. And after peace was established, he sought to award his allies for their support and punish his enemies for their opposition. Education was not excluded. The Catalan province of Lérida was pro-Philip, but Barcelona hadn't been pro-Philip, as we just mentioned. So the University of Barcelona was relocated to a town in Lérida called Cervera. And there it stayed from about 1715, I think, to 1837. So over 100 years where the University of Barcelona was just simply removed from the city. And it stayed there until 1837 when it was returned to Barcelona. Since then, it has developed into one of the most important universities in Spain and Europe for that matter. So basically, all of those schools were founded before 1500. But soon after that, with the growth and the expansion of Castile and the Spanish Empire, more universities cropped up during the 16th century. These include, for example, the University of Valencia in 1501, although I guess the statutes were apparently approved in 1499. Then you had the University of Santiago de Compostela, I believe was 1504, although classes may have begun as early as 1495. The University of Seville, 1505. The University of Granada in 1531. The University of Saragossa in 1542. And the University of Oviedo in 1574. So it was a big century. Things were moving. Higher learning institutions were appearing all over the country. But as I was telling you, then Spain's power and influence as a major power began to falter, especially in the 17th century and early 18th century. Later in the 18th century, it saw a bit of a comeback. And we're talking about the Enlightenment period, but much of it was fleeting. The 19th century was a tough century for this country. From the very beginning, it was invaded and wars. There was all sorts of internal conflicts causing things to move along very slowly. Industrialization was late in coming. Many of the universities suffered as a result during this period. Then in the early 20th century, up to about the Civil War, things began to improve somewhat. But then the war and the post-war dictatorship set things back for a few decades. They have improved vastly, though, since the 1970s, and many new schools have come up since then, too. Spain does well in many disciplines, but, for example, excels in business schools like IE, ESADE, IESE are consistently ranked among the world's best. So anyway, there you have it. A brief history of some of the oldest schools in Spain and some of the newer ones. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us on a regular basis, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.